Blog Talk Radio.
Not adjust your thing. Not adjust your radio.
Here we go. Talking sports with the 12th man, America.
Let's kick it off. Here we go. I'm gonna get some
vitamins.
Ready?
Ready,
Rob? I just want to make sure you're ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. 12th man.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise,
what
I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How you? Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man. Today is Wednesday, August the 8th, and of course we have a very, very exciting night for you. Andre Peterson joined by Robert Ford. And we have a packed show tonight. So once again, Robert, let me set the table as we get started to jump right into talking sports with the 12th man. First and foremost, we have to talk about our condolences for Andy Reid and family. A lot of big things went on with that as he returns to practice with the Eagles, and we're going to talk about their response, being the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk about Bobby Valentine. He thinks the Red Sox are a playoff team. What do you guys think? A lot of topics about that. Allie Raisma, she wins her second Golden Bronze yesterday. We're going to talk about that. The Seahawks making news, a lot of big news. Obviously, you heard about Terrell Owens. We're going to talk about who the starter for quarterback. The Jets, we're going to talk about them, some fighting on in training camp, but a lot of big things about that. We're going to talk about Terry Stotts being named the head coach of the Blazers, Olympic basketball, fantasy football, survival football, college football. We've got a lot of things going on. Robert Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. We got a lot to talk about tonight, man. We got Olympics happening. We got NFL training camps. We got a full week of preseason games kicking off this weekend. It's mad in the sports world right now. Let's get rolling.
Let's get this party started, as always. All right. Let's talk about former star. Obviously, very, very sad news talking about Andy Reid. He lost his son, Garrett Reid, obviously, this week. And it's pretty emotional for the Philadelphia Eagles, and obviously we talk about some extended family, a lot of things that are going on with them. You know, obviously I haven't had that experience, but hopefully I think it's going to do a lot to strengthen that team, and we do wish a lot of, like I said, we're going to obviously put their family in our prayers and stuff like that too, but very, very sad news coming out of, from Eagles camp.
Yeah, definitely. From the Talking Sports to the 12th Man family, we definitely offer our condolences to Andy Reid and his family and the Philadelphia Eagles organization. And Andy Reid has been a rock for that organization for a long time, for him to have to go through this. I mean, no one ever wants to bury their son or daughter, so I know it's a very tough time. But I think people around the league, I think it was really classy for a lot of the guys around the league to come out and show their support. I know the whole Eagles organization showed up to the funeral, and even quite a few representatives from my New Orleans Saints showed up, and New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Roger Goodell. I mean, I think it was very classy to kind of show up on his behalf. And like I said, Andy Reid has been a rock for that organization for about 14 years now, and he's been a class, individual. And, and I think the Eagles are going to respond, and they're going to really play for hard for him this season. Just a few shows ago, I predicted the Eagles would win the division, and I believe that even more so now. And I really think they're going to really rally behind him and really play hard for him this season. And I think they're going to dedicate their season for him. I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that, but I really think they're going to win that division. And they're going to have a very inspirational kind of season in rallying behind Andy Reid.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. They're definitely going to, obviously gel together as a team, and they're going to play very inspired football. Real quick, and this is my fault, I forgot to mention the number for those that want to call in. If you want to call us and just kind of text us your thoughts and all that fun stuff, the number to call in, it is 424-243-9519. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at 12th Man Sports, and the same thing for Facebook as well. But like I said, we're kind of wrapping up that with Andy Reid, and obviously I also want to spread a nice little thing too regarding a former Atlanta Hawk, Dan Rounfield, as well. He passed as well too, so a lot of things going on in the sports world. We're praying for those families as well.
Yes, it's just a comment about Danny Brownfield, and I know this wasn't one of our topics, but I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a very good role player in the NBA for a long time and very courageous what he did trying to save his wife from drowning down in Aruba. And, definitely our condolences go out to him and his family as well. And, our prayers go out to him as well. And speaking of the Atlanta Hawks, Arthur Trish, I know this wasn't one of our topics, but since we kind of got on this, I'm very surprised that Danny Ferry got rid of Arthur Trish, one of the most respected PR guys in the league. And, I'm a little biased, too, as a New Orleanian as well. And I'm very shocked about the firing of Arthur Trish. I don't know if you want to comment on that, being a Hawks fan.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we were kind of taken aback about that, too. And obviously, we're still waiting for some more things to come out about the story, too. But, he's been a definitely main staple with the Hawks, obviously, since a good almost 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. But, I'm sure there's going to be more that's going to come out with this, obviously. And hopefully, we can talk about that next week, too. But, very shocking. And, Ferry is definitely shaking up some things with the Hawks organization, too. And right now, we don't know if this is a good move or a bad move. I'm thinking something had to happen for this to actually happen.
Yes. Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see if more comes out regarding this story.
Yeah, good deal. We're going to jump into some baseball news real quick. We don't talk about it a lot, but obviously we try to cover all sports. And a nice little topic that we had was Mr. Bobby Valentine making a comment about the Boston Red Sox making the playoffs. He thinks they're a playoff team. And if I can kind of jump in and kind of talk about this, Rob, obviously they're they're kind of struggling this year. They've lost two of their best pitchers, obviously some guys that have dropped, and they're not really playing that well. I think like 4 games under .500. And I think as a coach, I think it's something you have to say. You have to say, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs. I think he's kind of like try to inspire the team, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we got too much ground to catch up right now. So, and obviously early in the season, you thought this was a team that actually could make the playoffs, but I don't think it's going to happen personally. So I kind of want to hear your thoughts about this, and I think it's just coach speak.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I mean, the Red Sox on fourth place in the AL East. I mean, they have an outside chance of getting in a wild card position. But Bobby Valentine has always been one of the great motivators in the game. But the Red Sox are just too far back. The Yankees, the Orioles are ahead of them. Even in the wild card race, I mean, you still have the Devil Rays as well. And, they're just too far back. And, they're not even a .500 ball club right now. And so they're really struggling as a ball club. And I think, like I said, Bobby Valentine's just really trying to motivate and stand up for his team. But I don't think they have a shot to be a playoff team. I really don't. And those of you who all listen to the show know I'm a Red Sox hater. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Red Sox hater. This is what I really believe. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but I'm glad that they're not going to the playoffs as well. Sorry,
yeah, well,
boss.
I think this is a case, too, of being a Yankee fan that Robert had to kind of like, just once again talk about the Boston Red Sox not doing some good things, too. So this is just, I'm a little biased and thinking this, you're a little happy about this, too. So that's okay.
I like to see the Red Sox down. I hate the Red Sox just as much as I hate the Lakers and I hate the Duke Blue Devils.
Some people hate the Yankees just as much, so, we'll see.
I know.
Our Red Sox fans are going to call in and talk some junk, too, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Boston. Call in and give me a hard time. Come on.
be careful what you wish for.
All that fun.
Let's talk about some gold medals. Allie Raisman is doing her thing. She won her second gold, and she won a bronze. And you have to be very impressed with the Olympic, the 5x5 Olympic gymnastic team. They are they're a young team, and if things keep going well, they're going to keep it going at the next Olympics too. So obviously Gabby Douglas, why those guys, Jordan Weaver, excuse me, I forget my other lady too, but they are actually kicking butt in the Olympics, and it seems like more of the medals are actually won by women athletes versus the men. So the men have to start catching up, according to a lot of the stats too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, and also talk about the medal count where we stand. The U.S. is actually ahead of China, too, by, I think, 81 medals to 77. So they are doing their thing.
Yes, we've jumped ahead in the medal count. We're still behind slightly in the gold medal count by 2 to China. But in overall medal count, we have jumped ahead. And I think when it's all said and done, we'll be ahead in both the gold and the overall medal count. But, yeah, definitely congratulations to Allie Raisman again. She's now leaving these Olympics with 2 gold medals and 1 bronze. Of course, she got a gold in the team, in the overall team standings for the women. She also has gold on the floor exercise and the bronze and the balance beam. So definitely congratulations to her. Very courageous efforts on her part to come back and to have 2 golds and 1 bronze. And yeah, like you said, the overall, the American women are definitely performing a lot better than the American men in a lot of categories, maybe except for, you know, even in basketball. I mean, we always talk about the dream team, but there's a bigger gap with our women's basketball program than the rest of the country than it is with the men's basketball in the rest of the country. And I don't know if we're just a country where we have a lot more women that compete in sports, where a lot of countries have men that compete in sports, or maybe there a lot of other countries don't have a lot of women athletes. And so, I mean, that's interesting. That's probably something we have to study because, you know, even in basketball, you have so many other countries. You're looking at all these other countries, and there are NBA players on these teams. You look at France, there's 5-6 NBA players. You look at Argentina, there's 5-6 NBA players. You look at Russia, and you look at Lithuania. And I mean, so many of these other countries have NBA players, but when you look at the women's basketball, you don't see many of the other countries with women playing professionally in WNBA. And so you could make a case that there's a bigger gap from a USA women's basketball program to the rest of the country than it is with USA men versus the rest of the country.
Yeah, I could see that too. I just think, you know, I don't know for what, maybe it's a culture thing. Maybe they don't have enough different focuses, I can say too. So, you know, that's a good point too. So we definitely have to, that's something to actually look up too, moving forward too. I know there are a couple of teams out there and a couple of women that do play ball, but like I said, I don't think it's as global as the men's game for sure. I can definitely concur with you regarding that.
Yeah, for those of y'all listening in, once again, you can call us 424-243-9519. Make sure y'all like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and follow us on Twitter. What's our Twitter account, Andre?
It is at 12th Man Sports. So definitely hit us up, tweet us, and all that fun stuff, and we'll definitely get some responses. Let's jump into some football talk, Rob. Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks making a lot of news. And obviously, one of the biggest news is that Terrell Owens is back in the league. He actually signs a one-year deal for the league minimum, if you will, which is still close to like 900 or something thousand. So that's pretty good. So nobody's complaining. But pretty interesting to see how he gets the deal. And I'm sure that's good for him. He gets a second life in his NFL career. Continue that. And also, they actually announced that Matt Flynn will be starting for the first preseason game. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about this, Rob, first and foremost. How do you think Terrell Owens is going to do?
Wow, I mean, this came out of left field because I really didn't think Terrell Owens was going to get another shot in the NFL. I really didn't, but he had an impressive workout. You got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, at his age, being able to run a 4.45-40 is pretty incredible. I mean, if he would have ran in a combine, he would have had the 11th to 12th fastest combine run. If he would have ran at this past college combine in Indianapolis, I mean, that's pretty incredible. And so, obviously, I think if he can still run, he has. And he's even gotten a little leaner. He's lost about 10 to 15 pounds. And so maybe they help him with getting some of the speed. And so I think if he can, you know, if he can run like that, I think it's a good move by Seattle taking a shot on him. But I knew all along that Matt Flynn was their guy. They didn't go out and sign this kid to a 3-year, $25 million contract for him to come in and be a backup. And I know he hasn't started very many games, but he's definitely capable. I mean, he definitely looks like a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I know Pete Carroll hasn't made a decision for the regular season yet, but mark my words, Matt Flynn will be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. I think they are the closest team in that division to the 49ers, but I still like the 49ers winning that division. I think the 49ers roster, for those of you all in the Bay Area, y'all don't like this, but their roster just has a ton of talent, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. The only question mark with the 49ers maybe is Alex Smith, but I think the rest of the talent on that roster makes up for maybe what they're lacking in the quarterback position. But I do think Seattle will be second place in that division and maybe even compete for a wild card spot.
You know, I'm going to go on a limb and say that we're going to talk about Seattle real quick, and I think the Matt Flynn thing is LSU bias. That's what I think, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. and obviously I'm just picking fun at Robert, because this is what I say. You know, obviously I don't think Matt Flynn has kind of set the world on fire with his performance with the Seahawks, and I think he's going to get it due to the fact that he signed that big contract. You know, you have Russell Wilson actually in play for that job, and I'm sure that's something that you probably wouldn't have thought. And they're still kind of hoping that Tavares Jackson is going to turn it around too. So you got three guys that are pretty much neck and neck, and I think, like I said, because they signed him to such a big deal, they have to start him. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Roke is also talking about Terrell Owens, and this is something interesting I was actually listening to today. I actually found out that Pete Carroll put a call into Carson Palmer. You know, he obviously plays for the Raiders now, but he used to play for USC, obviously. And I think the word on the street about Carson is that he's a very he's a guy that he tells it pretty much as it is. And I think he really sought Carson's advice regarding Terrell Owens. And I think Carson said, hey, this is a guy. Whenever I was playing with him for the Bengals, obviously, he worked hard and he did his thing. And I think that was a big decision to why Terrell Owens got signed for the Seahawks. So that's kind of something that's a little interesting. For those that didn't know about that, but, you know, if I'm Terrell, you know, I definitely show some love to Carson Palmer as well, because I think he helped out in Pete making that decision too. And I'm sure there's some pluses and minuses with Terrell, and the reports from camp that he's been very humble, and I think he recognizes that this is an opportunity to kind of get back and kind of be on his best behavior. Some interesting things coming from that. So, yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hopefully he goes in there with the right attitude, and he doesn't go in there with a selfish attitude like he's had in the past. And so, hopefully he does go in there with a humble spirit and go in there being a great teammate. I mean, he's had a selfish attitude in the past, but the past is the past. And hopefully, you know, he can go in there and be a great player for that organization. And like I said, I think that Seattle can possibly sneak in with a wild card. Not going to say they are, but I still think they're the second-best team in that division. And if Terrell is coming in there with that kind of speed, he can definitely be an asset to the organization. Yeah, getting back to Russell Wilson, yeah, he's a rookie. I definitely don't think he's going to be ready to play from day one. And so I still think Russell Wilson will be the third-string quarterback behind Tavares.
Yeah, I agree.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah, I agree heartily. I was just saying, like I said, I think it's still – I mean, they were just saying that he actually, you know, he was doing well. And obviously, he's got to learn some stuff too, but – you know, Matt Flynn, you're getting all that money. You're going to have to do what you got to do. And this is tough, you know, it's tough to see it. And that's the biggest question about the Seahawks because, you know, if you look at that team, you know, obviously they've kind of, you know, had some ups and downs with Pete Carroll. But you know, that's the biggest question. You have to get your quarterback position solidified. Terrell Owens comes in there. They don't really have a lot of explosiveness at wide receiver. You know, obviously they got Golden Tate. Sidney Rice is still out. They actually had a good rookie, Doug Baldwin, that's doing this thing too, but they don't really have a lot of guys that put, you know, strike fear in your hearts for the defenses too. So, you know, obviously you stack the box,
yeah,
and, you know, you bump Terrell, you got to figure out who's going to beat you. So, you know, that's the thing with Seattle, you know.
But watch Sidney Rice have a breakout year now that he's got a quarterback that can get him the football. Last year, Tavares Jackson could not get the football to him. So watch Sidney Rice to kind of have a breakout year again, kind of put up similar stats to what he did in Minnesota when Brett Favre was healthy. And so I can expect Sidney Rice to come back and have a big year.
Good deal, good deal. Once again, for those who want to call on the show, the number we have is 424-243-9519. Also tweet us at 12th Man Sports. Hit us, like us on Facebook, as Robert said. And we're going to keep the show moving. We're going to talk a little bit about the New York Jets. And this is a, I hate to keep bringing them up, and I know they did all these moves to kind of get us talking about them. They want to relive the days of Willie Joe Namath and kind of make things happen. But, you know, fights in camp, a lot of things going on. You got one, you got a defensive back talking about he's the second best wide receiver. And then, you know, next thing you know, he gets, I guess Rex Ryan penalizes the team by making them run sprints after that fight in camp. And the next thing you know, they're going out to see a movie and have popcorn. I don't understand this Jets team. I think that if you're the Jets, you know, obviously, and I'm not trying to like pick on you guys, but you know, I'm a big fan of chemistry. Chemistry is very important. And if you got, you know, all these different, you know, dissensions going on, you still got, you know, Revis Island wanting his contract, and I think it's kind of softened his understanding with that too. But you got that distraction. You got Santonio Holmes. You got young receivers. You got the Tebow Sanchez thing. I think they got too many things going on for them to actually, you know, sometimes talent will, they'll do their thing, but chemistry-wise, I think that's going to be a big problem with the Jets. I don't know your thoughts about that.
Oh, I definitely kind of agree with you as well. And as a matter of fact, I mean, a lot of people probably believe that the Jets are the second-best team in the AFC East. I'm dropping the third in my predictions. I actually like the Buffalo Bills to move up to second place in the AFC East. Of course, I still like the Patriots to win that division. But I just think there's just too many distractions right now with that organization. The Tebow, Sanchez thing, who should be the starting quarterback. In my book, it should be a no-brainer. It should be Mark Sanchez. And now you bring in the guy that just comes in and constantly distracts the quarterback from his development. And I think, you know, the Tebow thing, maybe they shouldn't have made that move because now you're hurting the development of a good prospect in Mark Sanchez. And it just becomes a complete distraction. Then you got fights and training. The fights in training camp, I mean, that's probably not a big deal. This happens in everybody's training camp. I mean, the players getting tired of going against the same faces every day. And that's just, you know, just the kind of thing that happens. A lot of that kind of gets blown out of proportion a little bit. And but, yeah, that stuff will boil over and, you know, that too shall pass. And but I just think there's so many other distractions that are just going to hurt the Jets. Like you mentioned, the Revis contract. And don't get me wrong, I think Revis is the best corner in football. And but I just think there's just too many distractions. And I don't think Rex Ryan is a great manager of his team or a great manager of personalities. And so I think it's, you know, it's going to come back to haunt them. I see them dropping to third place in that division. And I like what Buffalo has done in the offseason. And I think they're going to surpass the Jets. And guess what? Do you hear anything coming out of Buffalo's training camp right now?
Oh, they're under the radar, boy. You got to love it.
Exactly. You don't hear anything coming out of that training camp. Buffalo Bills training camp, they are quiet, under the radar, and they're going to pass the New York football Jets this season.
Wow. You know, that's a pretty big story, too, because, like I said, they're quietly going about their business, and that's something that you have to do. You know, obviously, you know, Chan Gailey, he's got a lot of experience, and you like the moves that they've actually quietly done. You know, obviously getting Mario Williams, drafting well, you know, obviously adding some pieces. So this is a team, like you said, I think they're definitely they're a sleeper team, but they're not going to be a sleeper for long, too. And you got the Jets that are just kind of like, you know, this big bravado team, and that's something that they wanted. And I'm sure if you're the media, you love that. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like just shut up and play. You know, let's just kind of put it. You know, be quiet. Let's get this chemistry thing going on. I'm sure if you're Sanchez, too. And I think what they wanted to do, bring in Tebow, I don't know if it was the right decision, but I think they wanted to definitely challenge him to basically, you know, kind of push him to make sure that, hey, you know, this job is not going to be always yours. And I think they were 8-8 last year, so obviously they realized that, you know, this is kind of a make-or-break year for Sanchez. So, you know, I don't know if that's the right move, but, you know, I think I understand why they did it, to kind of jumpstart Sanchez, to kind of get him thinking about, you know, you got to kind of hone in on your craft, sir.
Yes, it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes up in New York. And, I mean, I just like what Buffalo has done. And like I said, you don't hear any noise coming out of that training camp. And they're going to have one of the best front fours in football this year, the Buffalo Bills. I mean, watch that football team. They're going to have, like I said, one of the best front fours in football, Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius. I mean, they're going to be a front four that's going to be serious, and they're going to be able to rush the passer without having to blitz that much with that front four, and a solid linebacking core and a solid secondary. I mean, I like that defense, and I clearly think they're going to be the second best team in that division.
Wow, you heard it here first. So all my Buffalo fans, we're showing you some love on Talking Sports with the 12th Man. How do you like that? That's what we do. We definitely bring it. You know, we're coming hard for you guys. We're going to jump into some NBA talk, and we're going to talk about what the Portland Trailblazers have done. They've actually hired the 6'8" Terry Stotts, the former Dallas Mavs, Hawks, and Bucks coach, to coach them. And you know, obviously being a Hawks fan, you know, and I actually ran into Terry Stotts a couple of times. This is a pretty big dude. Very interesting. I didn't know if this was a move that we saw coming. He's pretty much been known for being good at developing young players. And obviously, if you look at what the Portland Trail Blazers have done, you know, getting, you know, Myles Leonard. I know you hate hearing that name, Robert, if you wanted to have him for the horn. And also Lillard as well. I can get his name from Weber State. They got a nice young squad. So Terry Stotts is going to come in and do his thing. I don't know if they're going to make an immediate impact as far as making the playoffs, but I think for the future you can't help but you know, have a guy that's actually learned from a lot of good systems, being the, you know, the Mavs, and also working with the Golden State, and also working with a lot of couple teams too. He was 115-168 as a coach for the Hawks and the Bucks, but you know, hopefully he's learned from those experiences, and he has something to add to the Trailblazers organization.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been one of the better coaches in the league for quite some time. I mean, he was a great assistant in Dallas. Of course, when he was a head coach, I don't think he was in the, you know, the perfect situations. But I think he's a guy that can kind of go in. Portland, if they be a little patient with him, Portland has really turned over to a pretty young team. And this point guard Portland has, Damian Lillard, this guy may have been the MVP of the summer leagues. And,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to be a really stud, and it looks like he's got a potential to be an all-star point guard. So, and they still have LaMarcus Aldridge in that organization. Nicholas Batum, even though he had a cheap shot in the Olympics today, I still like him as a player as well. Oh, we won't talk about the cheap shot, but they have some pieces in that organization. Myers Leonard, of course, as well. And so they have some pieces that they can possibly grow with. And, of course, another draft or two, and they could be right back in contention if they're going to be a little patient with Terry Stotts up there in Portland. I know we're getting close to winding down our live portion of our show, but we're still going to be covering quite a bit on our, I guess what we can call a tape delay, so you guys can go back and listen into our OT portion of our show. On tomorrow, we're going to give you information about our fantasy football league and how you can sign up. We have a survival pick that league in the NFL. We also have a college pick'em league. So make sure on tomorrow, if you all can tune in to our OT portion of our show, get our passwords, get our league IDs so you guys can sign up and y'all can compete with us in our Talking Sports with the 12th Man Leagues. And, of course, join us next Wednesday, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We're going to be talking NFL as usual, of course. We're going to recap the Olympics, and we're going to recap this first week of the preseason on next week's show. Anything you want to add, Dr. Dre?
No, you're right on it. Thank you so much. We got about 1:30 left, and obviously we're still going to, if you want to listen in and archive the show, we're going to talk a little bit about those topics in the OT. We're going to touch base about the men's Olympic finals and what they're doing as far as that, or semis, if you will. And it's interesting to me, too, and kind of jumping back as far as Nicholas Batum, and that French team had a lot of NBA players from Tony Parker and Boris Diaw and Ronnie Turioff. They had a pretty good squad, too, a lot more than most teams, too. So, you know, they kind of got beat by the Thaw brothers in Spain, but it was definitely good to see a lot of representation for the NBA. So, 2 seconds, Rob, you want to talk about anything else you want to talk about as we get ready to set up for the OT?
Well, just piggyback off of that game that you brought up here, France and Spain. But, yeah, France was leading most of that game, and they had every opportunity to beat Spain and pull that out. But, of course, Spain was just too big in the end with the Gasol brothers and the Ibaka down the stretch. But yeah, for those of you all who can catch our OT portion, listen to the show on tomorrow. I think you can possibly even listen to it tonight if you're up late And but tuning into that, we're going to be talking more men's Olympic basketball coverage. So definitely stay tuned for that. And I think we still have a little bit more football we're probably going to cover in the OT portion as well. So for those of you all, make sure you join us next week. Listen to the OT on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all the callers and the tweets and all that fun stuff. Like us on Facebook. See you next week. And we are now in the OT portion of the show. And yeah, let's talk a little bit about the men's Olympic basketball team. We didn't really get a chance to talk about that, sir. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you. And if you wanted to kind of point out anything as far as how the men are looking, there was a little scare earlier, but they actually pulled it off. And the guys are looking very focused, to say the least.
Yes, I would definitely have to agree. And you know, we had a scare with Lithuania in the pool play, but other than that, we've kind of handled teams pretty easily. Even today, Australia kind of hung around for a little while, and we were able to just pull away in the second half. And even against Argentina in our last game in pool play, you know, they hung around, but in the end, we just had too much depth, too much talent. And I think that's what it's coming down to. Some of these teams may be able to hang with us for the first half and maybe a little bit into the third quarter, but our depth just kind of takes over. We have fresher legs. We're playing, you know, with an 11, 12-man deep ball club. And some of these other teams only have 7, 8 guys that they can play with. And so we're just playing with fresher legs down the stretch, and we're just able to pull away in the end. As you know, the semifinals are set now. Russia defeated Lithuania, and Spain defeated France. So that sets up one semifinal match, Russia against Spain. Argentina beat Brazil, and, of course, United States beat Australia. So that sets up the other semifinal match, Argentina against USA, for the third time here. And I'm going to go out and say Russia beat Spain in pool play, but I think Spain is going to come out and beat them here in the semifinals. That's just my prediction. I could be totally wrong. Of course, we'll find out on Friday. But, of course, I like USA to beat Argentina and win. So I'm thinking it's going to be USA and Spain for the gold medal match on Sunday, with the United States coming on top of the gold.
So you think that Russia's going to actually do some damage, huh? A little bit, from what you're predicting.
Well, I mean, no, I'm thinking Spain is going to beat Russia, is my prediction.
Okay, but you got Russia winning the next. I got you. Okay, I'll make sure that it will. And then obviously they're going to lose to Spain. Okay, I got you. Okay.
I think Russia is going to win the bronze. I think Russia will beat Argentina for the bronze, but okay. I think the United States is going to beat Spain for the gold.
I got you. I was trying to follow. I was trying to write this down because I wanted to have some ammunition for the next time we talk. But that's okay. I was making sure I had those pairings correct too. Yeah, good deal. You know, and I don't think we've ever discussed this too. But and if we have, forgive me. But and this is kind of a little off topic too. But do you think the 1992 original Dream Team would actually win versus the current team, or how do you feel they would actually match up? And I don't know if this is an off topic. I'm going to say this for the show, but you know, I don't know your thoughts about this.
Well, there's a couple of things here. What team do I think is better? I definitely think the 92 Dream Team is better than this Redeem Team, as they're calling themselves. And the main difference is the size. We don't have a lot of size on this current Olympic team. I mean, that Olympic team in 92, you got to recall, we had David Robinson and Patrick Ewing. We don't have anybody with that kind of stature in the middle on this particular team. And I think that's where the difference comes in. I think, but I don't think everywhere else is that much different. I really don't. I mean, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. I mean, those guys are incredible. Kevin Love. But I think the big difference, I really do, I think the big difference is the size, and that's why I would say the 92 Dream Team is better than this current team. Just because of Patrick Ewing and David Robinson, we don't have anybody on this current team that can match their stature in the game. And so that's why I think the difference has come in. Now, I think the competition today is tougher than what it was when the 92 Dream Team played.
Definitely.
We said early in the show, I mean, look at all these other countries. I mean, you have NBA players in just about everybody's roster. And we didn't quite, I mean, we had a few. In 92, you know, Tony Kukoc played for Croatia. I mean, you had a few. But, I mean, today you just have NBA players are coming from all over the globe to play in the NBA. I mean, I know this year's draft was kind of weak with foreign talent, but we still just have so many players from these foreign countries. You look at Russia, they have about three or four NBA players. And I mean, France has got Tony Parker, Nicholas Batum, Boris Diaw, Ronny Turiaf, Mikhail Petras. I mean, there's just a lot of players that's really good. I mean, Tony Parker's an all-star playing on another team. Spain's got Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Jose Calderon, Ricky Rubio gets back. I mean, Rudy Fernandez. These are all very good NBA ball players.
Yeah.
So the competition today is a lot stiffer than what the 92 Dream Team had to face. But that being said, I still think the 92 Dream Team is a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I agree with you, but not because of the size, and that's definitely one of the advantages too. But, you know, I would say too, as far as if you look at the actual experience the players had too. Now, obviously, you got like a, you know, you're talking about you had like Charles Barkley, and I call it like old man strength, you know, is what I call it. These guys know how to play the game. I mean, you may have some young guys that are running up and down, but they're going to know how to play the game. You know, you got like a 6'9 Magic Johnson, you know, who's going to match up against him? You know, then you got to worry about, you know, John Stockton and Karl Malone. You got to worry about, you know, Scottie Pippen doing his thing. You know, that was just a great team. I mean, they had, you know, Larry Bird. I know he's kind of hurt a little bit. Michael Jordan. You had a lot of different players that knew their roles, and I think they could adapt to anything. They may have to slow down the game against this current version. But, you know, I think the knowledge of the game, all the experience, the will to win, the competitiveness that team brought, I think they would just kind of walk the floor with the young guys. And that's not out of disrespect, like you said, because I do agree with you that now the competition is a little bit more difficult than what the Dream Team had originally. But, you know, that's just what I think. Obviously, I think a lot of these players, they know how to play the game back in the day. So they would definitely put it to the young guys. Yeah.
And that was a little bit more of an experienced group, too, as well. And but yeah, I think this team may be a little bit more athletic and a little bit more quicker, but I think the difference would have been we wouldn't have had anybody that can stop Patrick Ewing and David Robinson on our current roster, and and for that matter, I don't even know if we'd had anybody that can stop Karl Malone. So I mean those would have been the differences. We wouldn't have been able to have anybody in the paint. I mean, if you really look at it, our starting forwards on this team is Kevin Durant and LeBron James. And we don't have a starting power forward.
That's a good point.
You know, and LeBron James is very versatile. They're playing him at, you know, practically all five positions, but he's not a true power forward or center.
Good point. Yeah, I totally understand. All right, sir, let's talk about these leagues if you want to, like, move on, sir, because we got about a good 6 or 8 minutes here. We can talk about this real quick. And you've done a great job of setting up these leagues and, you know, the fantasy football, survival football, and the college football promotion. Talk a little bit about what you were able to set up over there, sir.
Yeah, first we'll talk about the College Pick'em League. And basically this is a competition of your college football knowledge, you know, picking games. And every week, Yahoo Sports will pick the 20 most interesting college football games, and you got to pick them based on a point spread. You're not picking straight up. So we won't be picking games like Florida State against Murray State. It's going to be your best 20 college football games. So we have the Florida States against the Georgia Techs, the USCs against the Oregons, the LSUs against the Alabamas of the world. And so these are going to be your better matchups every week. And you're picking based on a point spread to make it a little harder. And so, and every week, and by the total, whoever, you know, we're going to have a winner at the end of the season, of course. For you all to sign up for that, our group ID number is 4929. Our password is footballers, all lowercase. Once again, the password is footballers, and the group ID number is 4929. Challenge us with your college football knowledge. Then we have a survival football. This is a NFL football. It's a pick 'em league. Two strikes, you're out. You can't pick the same team you can't pick the same team more than once. Once you've picked the team to win, you can't pick that team again the rest of the season. And so, you know, you have to kind of look at, you know, what team you have to pick one team per week that you do not think is going to lose, and you have to live with it. It sounds easy, but it's not easy in the NFL. And yes. And so once you have two strikes in this league, you're eliminated. And you know, in some survival leagues, one strike you're out. But this is, you know, we got two strikes in this league. So once you, your team that you've picked have lost twice, you're eliminated. So the group ID to join this league is 5618. Once again, 5618. Password footballers, all lowercase. So footballers is our password in all of our leagues. So yeah, survival football group ID number 5618. Come on, challenge us to survival football. And then we have fantasy football. This is your traditional fantasy football, picking your players. You know, we have playoffs in week 15, 16, and 17. Group ID number is 319-430. Password footballers. Once again, 319-430. We still have, I believe, at showtime tonight, we still have six slots left in our fantasy football league. So please join in, compete with us. Let's have a little fun this football season.
Love it, love it. And like I said, I got to give you some props for setting all that stuff up. I actually just signed up for these. I think I did one of those leagues today, so I got to join up and do my other stuff too before I get locked out. But I'm definitely into the fantasy football. As Rob mentioned, definitely challenge us. Go ahead.
You're a host of the show, man. You have to sign in.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have to sign in. I'm already in for fantasy. I think I signed up for the college football pick'em. And once the survival thing gets, you know, gets loaded, I got to sign up for that too. But, yeah, this is great too. It's a good way to kind of show your knowledge and as Rob mentions, kind of show us up and kind of figure out what you have too. But, you know, we love some fantasy football. We have a couple of leagues that I know Rob is commissioner for and I'm the commissioner for too. So we definitely love to talk smack and all that fun stuff too. So looking forward to that and seeing how the playoffs work out so we can definitely talk some more junk to you guys and see if you can knock us off the post. I love it.
Yes, and keep on a password for all three of those is footballers lowercase. Footballers lowercase. And maybe, I don't know if we have time, maybe I'll repeat them one more time.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, I've got 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and repeat it one more time for those of you all who are listening. Once again, to join our college pick'em, group ID number 4929, password footballers, all lowercase. Survival football, group ID number 5618, password footballers, all lowercase as well. And fantasy football, 319-430, password footballers. Once again, we got six slots left in the fantasy football, survival football, and college pick'em. We can have as many people as we want, so there's not a cutoff on a number of people. And but fantasy, we have six slots left. We have the first six are already taken. So once again, join in, compete with us, men and women, boys and girls. Come on, sign up and compete with us.
Love it, love it, love it. And it's interesting, too, if I could talk about the survival football thing. That's one of the things I'm kind of interested to see how this plays out. Because I've been in a couple of them, but not the fact that you can't pick the same team twice. Or, you know, once you pick it, that's pretty much it. So, as you know,
yes,
there's no such thing as a sure thing in football. So you're definitely like, how is this going to actually play out? Because I've seen some teams that you think are going to dominate, and that'll mess you up for the for the season, man. So you have
to you really have to, you know, try to play it smart. If you pick the San Diego Chargers in week one, you cannot pick them the rest of the season. If you pick the New England Patriots in week one, you cannot pick them the rest of the season. And so that's how it works with survival football. So so you have to be you have to be careful. not to try to use up all the elite teams, you know, too soon, but you have to go with your gut. And but once again, once you've picked your team, you cannot use that team again the rest of the season. But it's a lot of fun.
Gotcha. 60 seconds left, Robert. You wanted to wrap this up as we have another successful week of Talking Sports with 12th Man.
Once again, like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Search for us, find us, like us, follow us at Twitter. what is it, at 12th Man Sports. Make sure you follow us. We post lots of updates of what's happening in the sports world. And once again, join us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. We're going to recap the first week of preseason, show some highlights, who shined and who didn't shine, and recap the Olympics. So make sure you all join us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Radport, it's been a pleasure doing business with you tonight, sir. As always, we are here every Wednesday. Let's talk, let's have some fun. Have a good week, everyone. Be blessed, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Good night, people. God is good all the time. God is good.
Love it, love it, love it. Talk to you guys next week.